Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hi there, this is Greg LeGros.
And this is Jamie Dew.
Of Fully and Completely, you're listening to...
Hello and welcome to Fully and Completely, the podcast that is going through the entire discography in chronological order of Canada's The Tragically Hip. We are going to be talking about the albums, the songs on the albums, a little bit of the music and culture going around around the time of release. We're going to talk to each other about what's going on, because we're a couple of buddies who like talking about the hip and unraveling the mystery of Canada's greatest band. Whew, and here we are, 2016.
Hey, man. Take a little sip of that wine. What do you got in the glass there, son?
Oh, you got the whole bottle with you.
Mount Riley.
Oh, that's great. That's something I will instruct every date of my daughter not to do.
I've got a real taste for New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc.
Look at you, you fancy son of a bitch.
I know.
I'm drinking juicy ass.
Who makes
juicy ass? I've got a taste for juicy ass.
Who produces juicy ass?
It's a brewery in Barrie called Flying Monkeys.
Oh, I know them.
And they make lots of really good stuff.
They do.
This is actually the most popular IPA in the beer stores.
Is it?
Yeah. So how are things, man?
I'm living the life of online kindergarten and little else.
Let's see those glasses.
Yeah, I got red glasses.
Wow, where'd you find those? I won't steal them this time. Don't worry.
Same place, clearly.
Wow, those are really cool.
They were $17 or something? Ridiculous.
That's really ridiculous.
It's very affordable.
Yeah.
I lived the life of kindergarten. I'm back in kindergarten. That's where we are. That's where we are in 2021 is I'm taking kindergarten again.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, there's part of it that sucks. But there's part of it that's, really quite great, right?
Absolutely, and it's better than. It's better than lockdown part one because, you know, Zoe wasn't in school yet, right? So
right, yeah. I would tell you, even my kids were in school, and it's better than part one.
Well, I guess they have a plan. Are we? Yeah. Show? Are we doing the show? Is this a show now?
I guess. Yeah.
I guess. Why not? It's a little chit-chat. Yeah. We had no stories for the promo, so.
Yeah, they're, we'll start. Yeah.
Okay, good.
All right.
I didn't have school experience for the first lockdown, because she wasn't in kindergarten yet, so I just had to come up with a day every day. Right. And it was maddening with a four-year-old. Just maddening. Same conversations over and over every day, all day long. And part of it was like, it's a gift. It's a gift. And this is amazing. We wouldn't have this time otherwise. But part of me is like, I can't play Big Bad Wolf in the backyard one more time. I cannot. Because it's not like a game that makes sense. They tell you the name of the game you're playing. And you're just chasing them in a circle for eternity, you know.
Right. And do they have home free?
Sorry,
did she have home free anyway?
Yeah, well, what she did was like, we have a tree, a little like a pear tree, and a little like plastic house, you know, a backyard house you have for a, a dog house for a child. And so she'd go in the house and I'm the big bad. I come and yell or do the thing. Little pig, blah, blah, blah. And she'd do the, Harry, the chinny chin chin. And then instead of like when I'd go to the huff and the puff part, then she'd just run out of the house and go run behind the tree, which is the second pig's house. And then we go repeat that scenario there. But then there's no third house and there's no end to this game. All she does is run back to the other house. And then I just have to follow her there and do the spiel again. And like I'm talking like 3 hours of this, man.
You are one dumb fucking wolf.
You know, she called me too. She's yelling and taunting me at one point. She's like, come and get me, you old wolf. I was like, what? You're getting ageist with me? I'm here for you. You old wolf. You silly old wolf.
Oh,
okay. I know. And then things got warmer and I was like, here's a bubble machine. And then I sat down and wept. So it's better now. I mean, I'm in kindergarten again, but at least there's structure to the day. And I could probably use a brush up on the spelling and stuff. So why not start at the beginning? Our teacher's great. So that's good. And it's good. It's good. It's just weird. It's just like, what the fuck is going on? 20.
Yeah, this 21. Is bananas. Just bananas. Just and then what happened last week? You know,
what is going on? Yeah, 2020 is over. Everything's going to be great. Fucking check it out. Remember when we started this show? Remember how peaceful everything was?
Yeah, you were talking about like mining disasters and things like that. And it seemed so long ago. You know? And
yeah.
John Cretchen and Brian Mulroney. And it's oh, they're so villainous. They got nothing. They got nothing on these new supervillains, you know? Fuck.
Yeah.
Bane Trump.
Yes. What a time. Yeah. I guess we can only, I don't want to jinx anything. I was going to say we only go up from here, but I bet there's worse places we could wind up. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just wait and see what happens.
Well, I have signed up to drive a school bus over top of the Grand Canyon next week.
What could go wrong?
Nothing, right? I feel like, you know, somebody offered me $50 to do it. So I said, hey, that's $50 in my pocket. That's
$50 right in your pocket. Oh, man.
Oh, and it's a manual transmission.
Oh, ooh. No?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Stick.
No, who drives a stick? If you drive stick, you don't even need to lock your car.
Yeah.
No one's stealing it. No one knows how to drive that. It's over.
That's true.
Yeah, leave it running with the keys in it. No one will take it.
Is it that bad? Do you drive stick?
No. No one drives stick.
Oh, I do drive stick.
Drive stick. Well, yeah.
But I'm old.
All right.
I've got a few years on you.
Do you?
Yeah.
Not enough.
Or 70, 74?
74?
Yeah.
2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just, my parents drove automatic. Everything was automatic. I don't know anyone drives stick.
Yeah, my girlfriend bought a car that was a standard, and it was a station wagon. Mm. And she let me drive it from time to time, and I would fake my way through it, and boy, it was terrible. I was terrible on that car. I swore at that car a lot. More than you should. More than you should swear at a car.
Well, it's all relative. A big sweep of wine here.
Remember sitting in your backyard under the pear tree?
I was so hopeful.
And it was so nice, and you had a bit of time, and... Yeah. I had a bit of time, and it was like, hey, let's take this time.
We were just like, we'll crack these fucking things out. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
And then then all the time went away.
Yeah.
Just gone.
You know, life happens.
It happens all over us.
What can you do?
But nonetheless, here we are moving forward. We don't need to really dig back into albums and events of 2016 because we covered that.
Yeah, we have.
Man Machine Poem. Same, we're in the same year.
we're in the same freaking year.
Doesn't it feel that way? Different. Doesn't it just seem like we're in the same year? Still in 2016. With another solo Gourd, which I certainly thought at the time was going to be the last.
Yeah, I guess so, right? Because this came out post-diagnosis.
Yeah.
And did it come out post-tour? I think it did, right? It came out in October. I want to say it came out in October, and the tour...
Yeah, I imagine he would have
October
delayed
2016.
It would have been wise to delay it to not split focus. And
right.
It's not just for sales or something like that, but I mean, clearly this album has a lot of importance in its content.
That's right.
And I think, I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel like we'll just kind of talk about what we feel about the album. We understand the, I think we all know the story of why he made this. We'll talk about this a bit, but we don't need to dig deep into it. We're not going to have a history lesson on the problems with Canada here. We're just going to talk about the album.
Yeah.
I think. I mean,
Reconciliation is an in-depth subject.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
And, I don't know where you would begin.
Well, no,
for me, I would begin with this record.
I would too. And the graphic novel. It's a great way of getting in touch with the story on a understandable and personal level.
Yeah.
And I, you know, Gourd had everybody's ear, on that tour and at the end of that tour. And
that's right.
You know, this was something that weighed heavily on his mind. This is creeping into hip stuff well before any kind of diagnosis. He was very focused on this. This album was before diagnosis. He was working on this for ages. And he really wanted it. He's like, well, everybody's listening to me right now. And so this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I mean, we found out when we spoke with Michael Barclay that they had been dabbling in this record like as far back as 2012.
Yeah.
So... You know, he knew what he was doing in terms of the Cheney Wenjack story, you know, and when it would become ripe again and mature again to drop this record, you know?
Yeah. It started recording in 2013. So he'd been writing and prepping it, figuring out that it's going to have a graphic novel to go with it. I have it on vinyl. It's a very nice piece.
Sound beautiful.
And it's such a interesting album because it's so specifically about something.
This entire thing is based on a story that was in McLean's in the 60s, the late 60s, about Charlie Wenjack. And it's, you know, it's a disappointing that they, you know, that they misquoted his name as Charlie Wenjack when it is Channy Wenjack. And, Gourd's brother read this story and brought it to his attention, knowing that this was something that Gourd was, championing.
Yeah. You got it.
that something that he got behind as far back as Looking for a Place to Happen. It really did resonate. And, you know, Gourd got together with Kevin Drew and Dave Hamlin and who else is on this record? Is Kevin Hearn on this record?
You know, I'm not even sure who's playing.
No, there's, it's a talented lot for sure that were on this record and that made this music. But, you know, essentially, as is the case at this point, Gourd was writing the lyrics and put together this secret path. And it became, you know, a big multimedia project in Canada anyway. Heard Greg mention that he had the LP and did you get the graphic novel as well?
Yeah.
Now, I didn't get the graphic novel. I've got the,
it's great.
The MP3. But it was also
the art's wonderful.
A project on CBC, right? I think they showed it as like a cartoon.
Yeah, I think there's an animated comic as well.
Yeah.
Kevin Hearn. Bare Naked Ladies, his own group, and former Rio Statics, is on this album for additional keyboards. You've got some instrumentation from Kevin Drew and Dave Hamlin. Charles Spearin, who's Do Make Say Think and Broken Social Scene, and also same for Ohad. Benetrit doing some bass and guitar, but Gordy's doing all the vocals, acoustic and electric guitar. So, and it is a very, there's a word. So, there's this word that was somewhere a few sips of wine
ago in my head. Oh, damn.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a minimalist album. So, I mean, it's really about what Gord's doing. So, yeah, I think with Kevin,
this is one of those regrets.
Brought these guys in.
I don't have many regrets. Well, okay.
Good.
Truth be told, I have a fucking ton of regrets.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
But one of the regrets that I have that I could have probably fixed with a little bit of cash is after the summer tour, when the Hip went, did the Man Machine poem tour, Gord did a single night. Was it at Massey Hall or Roy Orbison Hall? I'm not sure which one, but he did the entire record.
Oh, yeah.
With that group.
Yeah.
Or with a group of backing musicians.
Yeah.
And he did Secret Path, like from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. And it was a pretty expensive ticket.
Yeah.
But it wasn't so expensive that I couldn't have done it. You know, it wasn't thousands of dollars or anything. It was, you know, like $100 or something. And why the fuck didn't I do that? You know?
Yeah.
Like, I knew he was on his way out. But I guess you just take your heroes for granted, you know, like you don't think they're really on their way out.
No.
And boy, oh boy, what a tour de force that would have been.
Yeah. Yet it was, I found it to be incredibly comforting to listen to in the wake of everything that was going on and having emotions about, what was going on with Gord and the whole thing. Right. Like I felt that I'm sure many moons ago we discussed our feelings about stuff when it was happening, but when I heard that he was sick, all I wanted to do was listen to the Hip and listen to anything that was coming out. It's like I needed more of it, you know, like I just immersed in it. Whereas sometimes when you feel emotional connection to a band and there's a tragedy within it, you know, it can be hard to listen to the music. Like when Kurt Cobain killed himself, I didn't listen to Nirvana for like a couple of years. It was just too weird or dark, or I was just like upset listening to it. So it like, not at all. I was like, no, thanks. And then they played just all the saddest moments of unplugged Nirvana was just on TV all the time. Just in case you forgot to be sad about this. So I was really just taking everything in. And even though this is not a personal experience album for him, it just really... I found it soothing to listen to.
You know, it's funny you say it's not a personal experience album for him, but it's so incredibly personal.
Like
it really does feel like he's... Now, I don't have the vinyl. I'm only listening digital, but it really feels like he's singing to me, you know, and telling me a story.
Yeah.
And that's so incredibly powerful.
It is. And you know what a lot of it is, I feel like, is because he's got that gift. You know, a couple of singers have that thing where, like, you really feel like they're singing to you. And he's always felt that way all this time. And so this guy who's been singing to you and you feel like he's right there, but has been singing to you in riddles and, you know, subterfuge and a lot of like mixed messages and like, you don't really know what I'm saying. It's very playful, mysterious. And then after all that time, he like grabs your face and says, now listen to me. I'm going to tell you something real. And so it's really direct. Like there's no mystery to what's going on in these songs, which is a total change in how we listen to him or how he writes. It isn't shrouded in metaphor and, you know, a couple of crossed ideas, you know, mixed together to make up some sort of thing for you to draw your own conclusions from. This is a direct story. These are direct things. And it's all that more arresting for it, you know?
I also love how incredibly personal the production is.
Yeah.
Like it again, it sounds as though they're in a tent, you know, they're just banging this out for us. Mm-hmm. Like your buddies might.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't want to say it's not nuanced, you know, mm-hmm. but not in a, from a production standpoint, you know, if you go back to the Bob Rock records, if you go back to We Are the Same, that is an acoustic, you know, mm-hmm. quiet record.
Yeah.
That is lush and layered. And
this is,
and this record is like, it just feels like it's Gord sitting there with his acoustic guitar and a, you know, a snare drum with some brushes. And
yeah, I got to really tip my hat to Kevin Drew. This thing is beautifully, and it's Kevin Drew with Dave Hamlin, but this is beautifully produced. Like I feel like this is the production he's been waiting for, particularly for the solo work. It's just so on the money. It feels timeless. It's warm, but it felt very now and in the moment and like fresh. To play my hand fully, I love this album, and I did immediately. When you have a concept album like this, or something that has such a heavy amount of content, or the content of it is so emotionally heavy, it can be hard to make a listenable album. You know what I mean? In someone else's hands, I feel like this might be a very like, well, I'm glad they did it and we know more about it, but that was a dry fucking lesson, and I don't think I'm going to re-experience it. Whereas I go to this album all the time, and individual songs, it's like, oh, I want to hear, you know, this right now. I just like you can remove the songs from it and they play because they're tunes. Like they straight up wrote great tunes for it, not just like, here's this incredibly serious situation and I can't have any fun making music while I tell you about it. So it's not that, you know, it's a remarkable bit of work here. And I was like, if this is the final solo work from Gord, then I don't know, is this his masterpiece? Because it might be. It's so steady the whole way. It doesn't like, well, we gave you a nice song, a couple of songs at the beginning, now here's the drudge in the middle. Like, you know, artists I love do this kind of shit where they just can't, you know, it's like too much mess and filler, and just like they get too lost in the seriousness of trying to like you're not a documentarian, you're a songwriter, just do your thing, you'll be fine.
That's right. Yeah, I have the word rockumentary right on the tip of my tongue, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not that. It's not this heavy-handed, you know, sort of piece. It really is so wonderful, and you know what it reveals, and it is revealing. This record comes at you in layers, you know. You get, you know, from the first track you get this sort of interesting introduction, and then, you know, six tracks later you're like, whoa, you're floored with like a reveal, both musically and lyrically. And bravo.
I don't know if we did some 2016 already, and this is kind of a special album. I don't know that we need to go through and dissect song by song like we normally do. I think we can maybe talk about some moments and songs that are important to us, or just how we feel about the songs in general, just because it is a different kind of experience. If you're feeling different about that, we can definitely dive in. We'll kind of see how the conversation goes. But with the opening track, The Stranger, it's a dynamite album opener because it really just pulls you in.
You can't see me. I am the summer. I walk the up of the path, jump into the ride. Then I jump to the light on a secret path, the one that nobody. Is in my head, and what's in the chest? I'm not gonna stop. I'm just catching my breath. They're not gonna stop. Please just let me catch my breath. I am the stranger. You can't see me. I am the stranger. Do you know what I mean? That is not my dad. Doesn't even dream. My daddy's not a wild man. On a secret path, the one that nobody knows, and I'm moving fast on the path.
When you mix what's going on in the world and his voice and that quiet, intimate, just, you know, nothingness, and the voice comes out, I am a stranger, you can't see me. What this album did for me so well with getting into this story and really wanting to learn more is he paints this picture that I relate to the moments. I went from, like, remembering my own childhood and, you know, being like a latchkey kid or whatever. But like, I walked home from schools and this and that. Like, I really got, like, I understood the headspace of like thinking that, you know, you fuck distance up too when you're a kid, like how bad a walk really is, you know. And I went out poorly dressed more than once, and, you know, I did long walks to and from school, and it was like a weird, it's a weird place when you're a kid, because part of it's fantasy, part of it's exciting, part of it's scary, and it really just, he put me in those shoes again, which was unbelievable, and it just, you know, makes you feel that much more heartbroken for what this kid went through.
Yeah.
It's a pretty impressive environment he creates with his help.
Yeah, there is a sonic environment for sure. Because Gord creates the environment that the rest of this record is going to take place in with totally. That opening track. It's like, here it is. This is the setting
mm-hmm.
that you're going to get for the next, you know, 10 tracks.
Oh yeah.
And here, you know, here it is. It's stark and it's cold
mm-hmm.
and it's relentless. But you're right. But because it's also existing in this, you know, child's mind. It's, we don't know for sure that we can trust the narrator, you know, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. What he has to say,
mm-hmm.
if that makes any sense at all.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you really nailed it with this, really setting the tone for the story that's going to come. This is your introduction to your narrator. This is where he's comfortable, which is in mass uncomfortability. The walk is his, anytime, not the walk, not obviously the, but he's got a secret path. He's just, when you're on your own for that little bit of time, because at school is where he's a stranger and no one can see him and he doesn't exist, you know. The walk is the, like, the safe place. And then it's heartbreaking to get into the last verse. And I mean, when you're in a school like this and you're treated a certain way and you just hear people openly speak about your people in a uncensored garbage kind of way. And at these lines of that is not my dad. My dad is not a wild man. Doesn't even drink.
Oh, man.
You know, like you, oh boy, that's rough. And beautifully, beautifully written. But he's on a secret path, one that nobody knows. Because he's the stranger. It's an amazing, amazing opening to the album. Just puts you right in tune with this kid. And how tragic shit is.
After that, Swing Set is a great track.
Swing Set does a good job of letting you know that this album's not going to be like a slog of information. It's like, hey, this is a is this a fucking jam? Are we having a jam right now? You know, like, it's really like, oh, fuck.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, lyrically, I love, you know, I love the narrator asking the question. You know, the plan has been formulated. He's going to leave. But, you know, is now the time? And then, you know, it's not yet, you know, wait. And it's not until, you know, he sees a child being dragged across the lawn, you know, and it's just like, oh, fuck. But then all of this is encased in this song that is like up tempo. And, you know, like,
yeah, it's got
but,
that serious beat in it. What a fun tune. Oh, man, is it good.
The next track that really jumps out is Seven Matches.
Yeah.
Small slim glass jar with a screw top lid, and I fingered the jar. I put it in my pocket. She said, can't go into the woods without them. I smiled at her and laughed, and I kept them dry.
That one wallops you in the head.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you've got this chorus that changes and it gets less optimistic, you know, as it progresses. And that's not what you want in a song from your protagonist. You want your protagonist to be getting more optimistic. Yeah. And I mean, well, truly he is. He remains optimistic, but we know the truth. You know, that those matches in the jar are his life. Yep. And it's getting tenuous.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, he is really struggling.
Yeah. As long as there were six, I'd be fine. As long as there were five, and just the number gets lower and lower. Oh, man.
Yeah.
And it's still so listenable. Like, you'll get more out of the story because you'll keep coming back to the song because it's a great song. It's really catchy. And his playful vocal is just intoxicating.
Yeah.
It's, man. Yeah, it's really something.
Just let it resonate. Oh, so fucking good. My God. Now, the next two tracks are not filler by any stretch, but I think, like, how do you say this, you know, in a delicate kind of way? It's all about that title track, right?
Just crushing. I mean... Oh.
I'm with you 100%. I don't think the record really begins.
That's the true start.
This song.
Yeah.
Freezing rain and ice pellets, walking home I'm covered in it. Walking home along the tracks, secret path. Did you say secret path? Pale blue doesn't do what they said it do. It's just a jacket. It's a windbreaker. It's not a jean jacket. It's, they call it a windbreaker. Walking home along the tracks, secret path. He said, secret path. I am soaked to the skin. There's never been a colder rain than this one I'm in. Pale blue doesn't do what they said it do. It's not my jacket. It's a windbreaker. It's not my jeans. Windbreaker, fuck off, Ross. Along the tracks, secret path. There's no secret path. Freezing rain and the ice pellets coat the rail, so I can't even tightrope it.
Yeah, this is
it's a beautiful blow.
Beautiful song and just devastating.
Yeah. I don't want to, you just, know, skip just to the end right off the bat, but that idea of there's those minor chords, you know, on the piano, and then you get the part about him suggesting that he can't even tightrope walk. You know, it's so icy, he can't even.
Oh, and that whole thing. And he's just constantly reminding you he's not dressed right, you know.
Oh,
it's not
God.
My jean jacket. It's just a windbreaker. I call it a windbreaker. And the walk and how hard the walk is getting. And the fuck off rocks along the track. Secret path. There's no secret path. And the freezing rain and the ice.
Did you grow up near? I grew up near train tracks. And we had a little fort that we built. That you had to walk, a kilometer down some train tracks, and you would always tightrope walk the train tracks.
100%.
It's just something you did. And to nail that nuance, to nail that, that thing that we all did as kids, to really paint this picture that this is, this protagonist here that is talking about really grown up things and really terrible fucking things is a kid.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, it's devastating.
Mm-hmm.
Just devastating.
Yeah. And a removal of the ability to tightrope it. Like, that's, you can trick yourself into being positive if you're doing something enjoyable while you're doing something horrible, you know? Or if there's that one little part of it that makes it all right or tolerable. And so when you can't, when it the sleet has made it so poor that you can't even tightrope it. Now right. it's just a walk in the gold, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, boy. and then, yeah, I mean, listen, this back end of this album is dark and hard.
Despair, the wind is in the trees, basically just waiting for something to come along and eat me. Is this future's gate where my dreams retreat? No, my memories are just memories of memory. And I folded in a dream, pitch black and glowing blue. A raven saying, I know a way that I can help you. I stared into his eyes, I saw my pale last days. Said what you can't escape, you gotta embrace.
But never sacrificing listenability.
No, I feel like the last four songs are very, that's when you sort of get the spiritual piece of the indigenous culture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get this idea of, you know, a bird, you know, speaking to him.
Yeah. Yeah. And haunt them, haunt them, haunt them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That song is amazing. And it's very intense. Very, very intense. Very theatrical, but in a great way. I guess a lot of this album is theatrical in a very good way. But that's the building tension and intensity of that song is pretty remarkable. So,
it makes you wonder whether or not, you know, in the near future or in our future even, that somebody will try to take this to the stage, you know? It wouldn't surprise me at all. This would be a powerful, powerful thing to watch, you know, set to the stage. There's something here for sure that is so powerful. And, disappointing.
Yeah, it's nothing but, you know, this kid was failed. All of these kids were just utterly failed. And then the failure goes beyond their experience and just the disregard of it, even happening, you know.
It's right.
But that's where we are. At least, I don't know what it'll take, honestly, for something to be made sense of any of this. But at least the conversation started. At least people know about these schools now. Yeah. this ranks extremely high in my Gord Downie catalog. where I'd put it, you know, cook machine glow. And I don't know. I don't know. It's too hard to say.
Yeah, it is.
How to categorize them. But what's
your... They're all very different. They're all very different.
Because they're all super different. Cook machine
glow, and right away I think about... I mean, I owe you and this podcast, Battle of the Nudes, because mm-hmm. I knew Coke Machine Glow, and it sort of turned me a bit sour with some of the more ephemeral, mm-hmm. you know, songs on that record. Mm-hmm. But Battle of the Nudes, what a fucking great record that is.
Yeah.
And then this is just... This is staggering, and I didn't have much experience with this record mm-hmm. up until this podcast. So sure. I'm thrilled yep. that I got to listen to this. I heard Seven Matches mm-hmm. for the first time,
oh yeah,
like I wept. You know,
I think it's the most focused. You know, it's the most. I don't know. There's no bad song. It's just as an album, like as a piece of music, that's all going to hang together.
Yeah,
I think in that respect, it's probably the best.
Yeah.
What's your takeaway song?
Oh boy!
Yeah, I'll help you out. I know what mine is.
For me,
I'm going.
For me, it would be Secret track. Path.
Oh shit! Okay, yeah, you take Secret Path. Then, if you're going to go Secret Path, I will go Seven Matches.
All right. Well, we could trade if we needed That's to.
Fine. Put it on the list. Just put it on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the entire record is something you should give. You know, yep. give a taste of.
Yep. And absolutely check out the yeah. graphic novel is worth your time. And if you have a record player, get the vinyl. If you don't have a record player, you should buy a record player.
I just don't know where I'd put one.
You'll find a place. Mine's I just got a new one. It's a Bluetooth turntable. So I don't have all the other stuff I used to have. Like cabinet speakers and, you know, the receiver and the whole shit. And it takes up so much space. And now I just have a really good Bluetooth turntable and a really good, not huge Bluetooth speaker. And that's it.
Oh, we'll have to talk.
So I play the records in my dining room, but I take the speaker in the living room.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. It's like, it's a little bit of the old with the new. It's nice. It all sounds better. It's true. It's not a lie. Did we do our takeaway songs from Man Machine Poem? Did we blew that, didn't we? For our final list at the end.
Oh, I don't remember even.
I think we did. Did I just texted you? I don't even know remember. If we did. Mine's in Sarnia. Just so you know.
Go get it.
Just so you know, it's in Sarnia.
Go get it.
All right, I'll go to Sarnia. Okay.
Head down there. Over there. I'm gonna stop talking like this now. I guess my takeaway would be Machine. Yeah, definitely Machine. Definitely Machine. I mean, is what I'm trying to say. Oh man.
Yeah.
Well, it's good talking to you as too. Usual. And we'll do this again real soon.
Is Introduce Yourself next?
Guess it is.
It is.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Who wants to cry?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I don't know where. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we could do.
No. In order.
I mean, it's equally horrible.
Go
but,
on.
But, and I mean that in a very endearing way. But we could do Long Time Running.
Oh.
The movie. I don't know where. I don't know. Have you watched that even yet?
No, I've been waiting to watch it right before we do an episode on it.
Yeah. See? So there's that too. I don't know where it jives out timeline wise.
2017.
Yeah.
It came out September 13th, 2017.
Okay.
And then Introduce Yourself
is October
of 2017.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go then.
Yeah.
Let's do the movie next. And then we'll do...
Wow, we haven't done a movie. That's interesting. That'll be...
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we'll get a guest or something. We'll see.
Okay.
I had talked to Norm Willner. I had talked to Norm Willner at one point about it, and he was interested. Oh, so yeah. We'll see. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
This was nice.
Well, it's always lovely.
Yeah.
Greg.
It's nice to see you.
I was in your neighborhood tonight at the beer store.
Oh, good. Is that where you got your juicy ass?
Pick up your shit.
Thanks for listening to Fully and Completely, a Tragically Hip podcast. For more information about Greg, Jamie, or any of our guests, please visit DeWvre.com. That's DeWvre.com. Send a letter to the show at info@fullyandcompletely.com. To join our Facebook group, go to facebook.com/groups/fullyandcompletely. And we're on Twitter and Instagram at Fully Podcasts. And hey, don't forget to rate and review the show wherever you get your podcasts.
DeWvre podcasts and such.